Hello, everyone. My name is DP, and you're listening to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting live from Vancouver on the unceded territory of the Hunkamedum people speaking. In the studio today, I'm joined by my collective members, Lydia, who is handling the switchboards for us today, and this is her first time. Yay! And our very dedicated Accessibility Collective member, Allison.
Hi.
And we're also joined by our podcast coordinator, Alex.
Hello.
Hi.
Today's show is going to be a bittersweet one, and I think you're definitely going to want to tune in because it is unfortunately the last show for season 4 of All Access Pass. So half of the show, we will have some reflection and discussion time on how this season went from the for the Accessibility Collective members' standpoint or views. However, first, we will go into our first song break, and Alex or Allison, would you like to introduce the first song for us?
Sure. Here is Jeff Stanfield with Jim Byrnes performing at the Strong Sessions Live.
Hey.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. That was Jeff Stanfield with Jim Byrnes performing at the Strong Sessions Live. A little bit about Jeff. He's a regular on the Vancouver music scene, performing a heartwarming blend of acoustic, folk, and blues. His music is rooted in irrepressible passion.
Lots of passion.
For living life to its fullest. Overcoming his own physical challenges, he celebrates both the struggle and the beauty of life in his songs. Jeff has performed on TV, radio, and folk festivals, as well as hosting an open stage showcasing artists from the disabled community to help them gain experience.
Thanks for that, Allison. That was a really good song. So before we get into our next segment, a warning, I want to let our listeners know that we will be discussing on a documentary, Far From the Tree, where we, as the Accessibility Collective members, saw together last week. And if you haven't seen it, but will watch it soon, please turn your volumes down for 10 to 15 minutes or so we don't spoil anything for you. So, okay, so we all watched a documentary on Netflix called Far From the Tree, where it follows families meeting extraordinary challenges through love, empathy, and understanding. This life-altering documentary encourages us to cherish loved ones for all they are, not who they might have been. It also is based on Andrew Suleiman's award-winning, critical acclaimed New York Times best-selling nonfiction book, Far From the Tree, Parents, Children, and the Search for Identity. So it's a copy of the book. And Lydia, you're going to explain about the characters in this documentary.
Yeah, so I'm going to give just a real quick rundown of the people here and what they're doing. So the film explores people who have children who are radically different from themselves. These people include Jason, who has Down syndrome, loves Princess Elsa, was kind of famous as a child for learning how to read and write. His mother has won 23 Daytime Emmys for her work on Sesame Street, for which she wrote for like 40 years. Another person in the documentary is Jack, who has been diagnosed with autism. He wears noise-canceling earbuds. He wants to date. He types to communicate. He gets straight A's. And then we have Leia, who has dwarfism and who, spoiler, has a baby at the end of the documentary. She also has a master's in public administration. Next, we have Joe, who is the person who had the baby with Leia. He also has dwarfism, and he uses a wheelchair. He has a PhD. He's a prof now. His parents don't understand his work at all. Next, we have Leonie, who also has dwarfism and who also really, really, really wants to date. She's 23, and her mom really wants her to have curls. It's like a key scene in this movie. And then there's Trevor and the members of the Reese family. Trevor is not interviewed himself, but his parents are, because when he was 16, yeah, content warning, guys, this is going to get a little rough. 3, 2, 1. So he murdered an 8-year-old, and sort of the documentary maker interviews the family and describes Trevor as broken. So this is very much a divergence from the rest of the people in the documentary. Deepy.
That's awesome. Yeah. So it was just, I guess what I wanted to know about your thoughts, Lydia, we'll start with you on this documentary. what were your thoughts?
Something that struck me was sort of how wealth seemed to play into a lot of this. Mm-hmm. For Jack and Jason, both had been exposed to sort of every type of conceivable therapy for Down syndrome and autism.
Right.
Their parents had invested a lot of emotional energy that was shown in getting them these sort of educations and access to specialists.
Yeah.
And as we have already discussed on this show, access to specialists is not only both potentially very good and potentially very bad. Getting diagnoses from specialists is expensive and gets you access to resources. So it really struck me that most of the people we interviewed, they either have higher educations and are sort of able to support themselves through work connected to that by being a professor and such, or they are living with families who somehow have amassed the resources to grant them access to all of these things that great big numbers of people would not have access to, especially in the States. This is an American film.
Yeah. How about your thoughts, Allison?
Yeah, I never thought of like the wealth, but I can totally see that as well, and how just like how similar, even though these people are so different, how similar and stigmatizing all of these people have faced in society for being different, and how they just love just living, and they're like, yeah, this is just the way it goes, and yeah, it might not be all roses, but it's a pretty interesting life.
I thought the documentary was really well done, but yeah, because I have a disability, I was thinking in my own self, like, in my parents' thought, like, they're not rich. We're just average family. But my sister and I both have a disability, and they didn't know a lot about that, and we didn't really have a lot of resources. But we did have a doctor who knew a lot, so was able to direct us to different specialists and occupational therapists and so on. I thought it was interesting how the film was looking at different perspectives of the families, but I thought that maybe it could have looked a little bit more for those people who don't have enough knowledge or money or anything like that. But I thought that the overall the documentary was really well done. So that was my thought.
Okay, so you were looking for, like, more of an outsider's perspective.
Yeah, like, I mean, I guess there's, like, there's a lot. I mean, when you look at disability, there's so many people with disabilities. That's why it's, like, called diverse abilities or various of disabilities, right? But, I mean, if you're showing a documentary, you can't show everything, unfortunately. It is what it is. But I would love to see another version of the documentary. And I don't know if it's going to happen in the future, but who knows?
The director wants to make a sequel.
Oh, okay.
But there's nothing in the works.
No, darn. So I guess my next question is, the writer for this documentary, Andrew Solomon, describes his journey from living as a closeted gay man undergoing conversation therapy to his life now with a husband and children and large family. How do you think this affects the framing of the stories? Do you want to go, Lydie?
Thank you, Dupi. One thing I thought that was particularly interesting about this is how Solomon's relationship to the stigma, that people bring towards being gay, was greatly a product of his mother's own perspective.
Right.
And how you could see this sort of forwarding of parental's perspectives throughout this entire documentary. Like, in some cases, we didn't even speak to the child.
Yeah.
It was about sort of what the parents thought of their child. And there was also this kind of determination to sort of end on a positive note in most cases, I thought. They would kind of conclude with, you know, like a baby being born, or like, here's this nice thing that happened.
And
I was Googling earlier, and Solomon, just a few years ago, got a PhD in psychology and maternal identity.
Yeah.
So I think that points to a lot in this movie about how moms do most of the interviewing.
Yeah.
And he's, like, really invested in that perspective.
Yeah. Okay. And how about you, Allison?
I really liked him. I thought, like, it was interesting that he, by coming out as gay, that he would more lean towards the LGBTQ perspective. And yet he changed it to saying, oh, if I'm having this, there must be others in a larger community, like the disability community. And that was a really neat way that he did it.
Yeah, I thought that was, like, very galaxy brain of him.
Yeah, I thought it was really well done because, like, I liked how at first, like, he walked us through, you know, like, what it was in the beginning for him, and then, like, what it was in the middle and then end. And I mean, I don't have a lot to say, but I really liked his, like, I'm glad that he had a happy ending and he has a family. And it's like, it's a lot when you look at the disability and then you also look at gay people. You can still have a family at the end.
Yeah.
It just looks different. Mm-hmm. Or it may not even look different. Yeah. So, next question. Jack, a 13-year-old who has been diagnosed with autism, has videos of many personal moments from his childhood, which is included in this documentary. Jack, after all, is a minor, and his mother, who gets to tell his life story this far. And there's also an interview with his support worker, as well as there's a footage of Jack's peers saying unkind things about him. What are your thoughts about this? Allison, we'll just start with you.
I liked that. I liked how, like, it really showed him with his peers and how not only with his peers and being able to see him in his element, but how the family got to where they are now and all of the struggles. How about you, Lydia?
Honestly, I was kind of weirded out by a lot of it because he is like a child and he's having all of these sort of very vulnerable moments of his like broadcast to the world in a documentary.
I know, yeah.
I don't know the rules around that, but I do wonder about sort of a 13-year-old being equipped to.
Yeah, okay, so I kind of similar really thought that after as well. It's like, okay, so he doesn't have a choice. His parents made that choice. But obviously, when he gets into age 13, he can make that choice, or 18. He can make that choice, right? But yeah, I didn't quite like how the parents kind of took that decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
Yeah. And then, yeah, like, poor guy. Like, I felt bad for him. You know, at that age, not only do you have a disability, but you're, like, getting teased. And then, yeah, the parents, like, all credit to the parents. They're, like, they were really supportive. But I don't know, as he grows up and he understands some of it, what's that going to happen? Like, what's going to happen after? Yeah. How's that going to play? Because his life is now open. Does that make sense?
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
No, we get, like, more footage of his mom crying than we do of him speaking.
I know, yeah. I was like, oh, I don't know. I wouldn't want my mom doing this.
No.
But, yeah. Anything else? Okay. So this documentary often focuses on the relationship between parents and children, a product of Suleiman's own complicated relationship with his parents. Do you like that they focus so heavily on the parents' testimony? So do you want to start, Allison?
Sure. I think it was good to have the parents' testimony, because sometimes, like, these people, the people with the disabilities, like Jack and Jason, they have the memories and they have all of these thoughts and these ideas, but a lot of the time they can't explain what's going on, so they need someone who understands them to say what's going on. And the parents intimately know what's happening and can advocate for their kids. So I liked that. And I liked how the parents, it's their relationship too. They have this really intimate relationship mm-hmm. with their kid. So who better to speak about it than the person with the disability and their parent?
I thought, you know, you're correct on that, Allison. I think it's great that the parents are speaking on this. But I would have liked a little bit from the individuals themselves. Just, I know that they have a disability, but somehow you can get out of the individuals themselves how they feel. And I would have liked to see that more. In more dynamics way. You are correct that family plays a big role. I would have loved to see more of the individuals speaking. Just like how their day is going, or what are they feeling at the moment? How have they felt the day before? Like, those for me as an audience who is watching, get a better understanding of the individuals and what they go through every day. What did you think?
Oh, I thought you said everything too good, DP. I have nothing to say.
Yeah, really? Mm-hmm. Okay. So my fifth question. This is going to be tough. But Trevor killed an 8-year-old boy when he was 16 years old and is now serving a life sentence. All of the other subjects in the documentary were diagnosed with a disability shortly after birth, but they did not grow up being treated as normal. Before choosing to undertake an act that would make them different from others, therefore, how do you feel about the inclusion of Trevor's story. Lydia, we'll start with you.
Oh, okay. I think it's in some ways interesting, but I'm also a little bit uncomfortable with how they juxtapose, like, someone sort of choosing to commit this kind of act with all of these people with disabilities who are living their lives and not killing people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was, yeah, I felt the same way. I was like, okay, so I know, like, this happened, but I don't think it was needed to be in the film because that just shows a little bit of negativity towards people in with disabilities. And then there's also, we got a glimpse, like, we were showing from his parents or his family's side, but we didn't really get to have the glimpse of Trevor himself. And that's where I was kind of lost in a little bit, because I would have loved to hear what he was thinking at the time. I felt really bad for the family, because no family should be in that situation. But I think it wasn't needed to be shown. Anyway, what are your thoughts, Allison?
I think you guys spoke, like, my thoughts perfectly, like, by that it wasn't really needed, and I would have liked to have seen him in the film.
Yeah.
So.
Because then, yeah, like, was it explained a little bit, like, why he injured, or he hit?
Not that I caught.
I was confused about that, too, because why did he... my guessing is he was getting teased.
I think they said at one point that, like, the parents said that Trevor himself did not know why he had done this.
Yeah, see, there... Yeah, I was a bit confused there. But, you know, what I did like about is that he owned up to his crime, and now he's paying for his crime. So I like that part, because that shows that, you know, he did commit a crime, and it was really bad, but he's paying for that now. Yeah, so. Okay, and then my next question is, both Jack, who is autism, and Jason, who has Down syndrome, had an exclusive interactions with different kinds of therapists and academics. Jack's mother said that they tried every therapy possible with him. Do you think that this is representative of people's most approach to raising a child with a disability? What are the alternatives, and do you think that they are good ideas? We'll start with you, Lydia.
Oh, well, I don't know. Yeah, I think this... I wrote this question, sorry. I think this comes back to the question of sort of, like, privilege and where a lot of these families seem to fit in terms of post-secondary education and wealth. And there are lots of sort of, like, alternative approaches.
Yeah.
Like, sort of usefulness of which are often, like, disputed.
For me, it was, like, therapy is not only the answer. Mm-hmm. There's, like, yeah, I mean, I know it's a lot on the family, but, you know, once you... Like, there's doctors who can kind of play in and then kind of give you advice. Or you can even go to groups and get understandings. But therapy isn't always the best solution for what I thought. And yeah, it's expensive, too. So, and not everybody has that privilege. But, yeah. Do you want to add anything to that, Lydia?
No, Allison, what do you think?
Allison, what did you think?
I also thought this was not, that this is not representative of most people. And I can see that with my life. Like, my parents were able to pay for for psychoed assessments for me and everything. And I have a friend who has dyslexia and ADHD, and she doesn't come from a family with wealth, and she wasn't afforded the same things that I was afforded. Mm-hmm. And it was much more difficult for her growing up because she didn't have that same background. So that's kind of my thought.
Yeah, I could have thought, like, I would have liked the documentary to show what if the individual didn't have any therapy, then what? Like, it would have concluded better, you know? But, therapy isn't always the answer, but kudos for this documentary to show that there is an option out there. Do you think each scenario or story was well told, or would you have liked to see more depth and longer story told? Allison, we'll start with you.
I would have liked to seen Jason's story a little more told. I really liked seeing, like, what he was able to do in his life, and just, I kind of fell in love with, like, him as a human being. So, how about you, Lydia?
Oh, I really liked Leonie. I thought she was very nice and very clear in what she wanted to date.
Who?
Leonie.
Oh, yeah. She was my favorite, too. Just because she has a dwarfism, and I also have a dwarfism, so I can kind of relate to her. But at the same time, she was wondering if there's any other people like her. And I never really thought of that growing up. I was like, eventually, like, there is somebody out there. I don't know them, but and I wasn't even in any of the conferences or anything like she was. So, but I was really touched by her story just because personally I can relate. But I'm really happy that she was able to find friends from her age and her disability. And yeah, but overall, I thought certain stories could have gotten a little longer, but it is a documentary, and I guess you have to end it because it is a short documentary, but hopefully there's another sequel. Like you said that there might be, but there's nothing official word on that. We could always have more. After you watched Far From the Tree, in your opinion, what do you think this message of this film was overall? We'll start with you, Lydia.
Oh, thanks, DP.
Yeah.
I think that sort of what Solomon set out to communicate and what he did so effectively was that a lot of the sort of ways in which we view people as separate from each other or other are functions of sort of where we are in society and where we are in time. And that the idea of certain people being sort of totally different beings from ourselves is one that shifts.
Yeah.
And sort of his point was that being gay was stigmatized.
Yeah.
and came to be sort of a regular identity. And his argument was like, what else will come to be sort of like normalized within like able society?
Yeah.
Is what I thought happened.
How about you, Allison?
I think the message was that we can overcome like the stigma, and that even though that we all might be different in one way or another, we can all be we can all like have that fight in us and still be a happy person.
I thought that, you know, if you have the support and the love from people around you, you can conquer anything, including disability. And the disability is just a word. It doesn't really define you at all. It's how you look at it. And if you have a positive energy or a positive attitude, then yeah, disability is just a word. So that's what I got. And my second to last question would be, obviously the stories and scenarios were all done and all done well and superb, but which story really touched you or struck you the most and why? And we'll start with you, Allison.
I really liked both Leonie and Jason. Both of them struck me a lot.
Okay. And why is that?
Because I think Leonie just kind of, she even though she has a disability,
yeah,
she wanted so many normal things. Both of them did. Both of them, even though they had a disability, both of them wanted very normal things in the world. So, like love, independence, all of that. It was quite nice.
Okay. And what did your thoughts?
Yeah, I really liked Leonie because everyone else seemed to have these sort of all-in support groups,
yeah,
who were going around to make sure that, like, their person had access to people who had similar, like, backgrounds to them. But Leonie was, like, setting out on her own to that conference,
yeah,
right? She was, like, just doing that all independent, like, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I'm same way. I alluded in the early, but yeah, I can really relate to Leonie because, yeah, she was independent. She knew what she wanted, and that was that. And I'm the same way, so I really can empathize with her. And but like I said, all stories were really well done, and so we'll leave to our last question, which is, would you recommend our listeners to watch this documentary? Why or why not? And we'll start with you, Lydia.
Great. Yes, I vote. My vote is watch it. Do it now.
My vote is also watch it. How about you, Lydia?
Watch it again.
Sorry, DP.
Three times.
DP.
Yeah.
How about you, DP?
Yeah, definitely watch it because it looks at different perspectives of different disabilities that are really out there, like the Down syndrome community, the autism community, which is a big community. So it kind of gives you that glimpse of what each individual kind of goes into. So definitely watch it. And that wraps up our discussion on Far From the Tree. Please do check out this documentary on Netflix. Now we're going to our next song break. So Lydia, would you like to introduce our next song and disabled artists?
Yeah, so coming up for you now is Thomas Kwestoff with the song Auf dem Fluss.
Thank you. rauschtest, du heller wilder Fluss, wie still bist du geworden, gibst deinen Scheidegruß. Mit harter, starrer Rinne hast du dich überdeckt, liegst kalt und unbeweglich im Sande ausgestreckt. In deine Decke grab ich mit einem spitzen Stein. Liebsten umspunt und Tag hinein, den Tag des ersten Grußes, den Tag, an dem ich ging, um Namen und Zahlen windet sich ein zerbrochener.
Hello, and that was Thomas Questoff with Auf dem Fluss. So Thomas is an opera singer, and his mother was prescribed thalidomide when she was pregnant. And as a result, he was born with dwarfism, and there's a number of instruments that he is unable to play. However, he has cultivated this sort of wonderful opera voice, and he became the most popular classical singer in Germany by the time of his retirement in 2012. His immense talent was acknowledged from a young age by his father, who very much wanted him to be involved in entertainment. And as we just heard, he is a very high-class performer. Deepy, what would you like to talk about now?
Well, unfortunately, it is our last season of All Access Pass, season 4, that is. So we're going to have some little reflection moment as a part of the collective members like to do each year. So for my question, we'll start with you, Allison. being a part of the Accessibility Collective, how was this journey been for you? Because this is your first season with All Access Pass.
I really enjoyed myself. I really enjoyed choosing the music.
Yeah, you were superb on that. Thank you so much.
So much fun.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. And I really liked saying hi, Grandpa. By the way, yes. Hi, Grandpa.
Hi, yeah. Allison's grandpa.
Hi, thank you for listening.
So, that was my favorite parts.
Yeah. And how about you, Lydia? This is also your first. Yes.
I just feel very lucky to have been able to come here and learn so much and do cool things with cool people.
Yeah, we mostly, like, three of us were doing all the shows, whereas the other collective members were off and on. This was a first time for me as a collective coordinator. So it wasn't any different, to be quite honest, because I've been part of the collective from the very beginning. But it's been fun and a lot of learning. And it was definitely a bittersweet, fun experience for me.
Great.
Yeah. So how about, this is my favorite question. What's your favorite episode of All Access Pass? We'll start with you, Lydia.
I really enjoyed the Andrew Gerza episode on sexuality.
Yeah.
He's just put so much thought into it, and he's a very compelling speaker. And he was a lot of fun to interview. Allison and I had technical difficulties, and he was a totally, like, patient babe. It was great. Okay. So, yeah, that's my take on that. Allison, what do you think?
I think Andrew Gerza.
Yeah.
And oh, really?
I also liked interviewing for the PUSH Festival. That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
How about you, DP?
This is tough, but I have two. So my favorite was the podcast panel that we did first time on the language use, because I don't know if any of the listeners have followed in the past, but we've always had that challenge. It's what terminology to use besides disability. So it was really a great experience to hear from other panelists who themselves had a disability, what their thoughts were. So that was one. And then the whole episodes we've done on fashion and accessibility.
With Yat and Kevin.
Yeah.
Oh, they were great.
Yeah.
Oh.
I really liked how both the podcast that we did, or the panel with Kevin and Yat, having them come in, and then Allison also giving her thoughts. And then also we did an episode where Nicole Lee explained from her standpoint on the challenges she had to endure while, wearing a hearing aid. So, those were my favorite, because it had more personal touch feeling. Yeah. So that was my favorite. Do you want to add anything?
Oh, I just, like, Yat and Kevin, I forgot about their interview. It's definitely tied for me with Gerza's.
Yeah. So I think you guys both answered this, but who's your favorite interviewee and why?
Oh, well.
Yeah, Andrew?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. For me, that's a tough, because I think from PUSH Festival, when we, Allison, you and I did with two individuals in Toronto. I forget their names.
Oh, yeah. That was really good. I also forgot their names. They were also very interesting.
Yeah, but it was from the performers, This Is the Point. And, yeah, so it was really good interview. It was challenging for us because we've never had to interview anybody who uses a board, communications board. When we were doing the editing, it was challenging because it is a disability that somebody has with communications, but as a radio host, we also have to play in for radio, like in that content. So how to narrow it, but also respect somebody else's disability. So it was a challenging, but a good challenge. And that was my favorite moment of interviewing, because in the past, we've never had that experience before. My next question is, what is something about disability or accessibility you learned on our show that you didn't know before? Do you want to?
Sure.
Lydia?
Yeah, I didn't know about the hearing harnesses that ran on, like, FM radio that Yat and Kevin had to wear in their youth, and that, like, their teacher had to speak into. I thought that was very interesting.
Right. Yeah, for me, too, it was the community of hard of hearing. We've never had collective members in the past who have hard of hearing, so it was really great to have Nicole's experience, as well as Kevin and Yat. That kind of... Allison, do you have anything to add?
I think you guys summed it up really nicely.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. So that wraps up our show for today. Unfortunately, it is our last show, but it was a great fun, and we hope you tune in next year. So on that note, Lydia, do you want to end it?
Yeah, so if you want to give us content ideas for next year, or tell us about how you want to see Kevin's heavy metal phase, email us at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
Thank you for our listeners for listening and hanging out with us all this season.
Please like us on our All Access Facebook page.
For Twitter or Instagram, it's like @access_CITR.
And if you missed part of our live shows today or want to listen our shows in the past, you can check out our podcast shows on CITR.ca by going on the search box and searching All Access Pod.
Stick around for more CITR programming coming up next. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thanks, everyone. Guys. Thank you.
Thank you.